Hello, welcome everybody. I'm Texas Apartment Association's Education Foundation series, Hints from HR. I'm Blaze Fidelary with Gemstar Construction. We're missing Becca Ramadi today, but fear not, we got a great lineup for you. Sensational Nicole Block with us, of course, from Brookfield Properties.
Hello.
Say hello, Nicole. But our guest today, let me introduce them because we're going to dive into a really complex topic today. It's going to be diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, these two individuals that we're going to have on the show, they are part of the National Apartment Association's Diversity Leadership Program, aka DLP. So this is the second year of that program, and there's a lot to cover. So let's just jump right in and meet who we have here. We have from Lubbock, Texas, Tigress Real Estate's own Jason Cantu. And from Dallas, Texas, with Brookfield Properties, we have Stacy Hassman. So, Jason, if you can just maybe jump off, give us a brief hello, who you are, what you do, and how you got involved in the DLP. You can kick it off to us, and then the same question to you, Stacy.
Awesome. Thank you, Blaze. Thank you, Nicole, for having me, and thank you, Stacy. This is a great opportunity to jump into diversity and leadership and what NAA is trying to do, and I'm excited that they allowed me to be part of this. So basically, I'm out here in Lubbock, Texas, been in the industry 15 years, started leasing, worked my way up. Now I'm kind of on-site operations, multi-site. But the cool thing, you know, is this program, Blaze, has actually helped me personally. You know, at the beginning of the program, we jump right in and kind of discover your own cultural and background and your leadership. That's the big part, too, is leadership and how diversity can help us and how we can use that with our teams. You know, I'll turn it over to Stacy, let her introduce herself, kind of give her a little insight too.
Yeah. Stacy Hassman, hello, with Brookfield Properties as well. Been in the industry for 14 years, almost discriminated against wrongfully. And that kind of sparked my interest in DE&I. And also my sister has a company that she'd started that specializes in it. So I've learned a lot more just through time from her, especially. But you know, the idea of being very inclusive with my team members is just something that I'm very strong about. And that's more or less the reason why I decided to join this program and as well as becoming a better leader. So it's been great so far.
Wonderful. Yeah. We look forward to getting a little deeper into what the program is all about and how diversity, equity, and inclusion can help everybody become a leader and mentorship and everything that goes along with it. And before we jump into a little more in depth, Nicole, I want to ask you, you have the wealth of knowledge. If maybe you can give a little definition of what we're going to be talking about today, what DLP, diversity, DE&I is all about and your take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, similar to what, you know, Jason and Stacy shared is that, you know, diversity, you know, with whether it's your background or, you know, just your work experience, anything, a team that's more diverse and it's more inclusive and just making sure that everyone has the proverbial seat at the table or has an opportunity to make an impact will only make your team stronger. And I think that you'll go further faster together. And so I think these programs and this focus on DE&I is absolutely just critical to, you know, leadership development and team development and just ensuring that we have, you know, representation. I mean, really on every level, you know, with operators, suppliers. I know the job seekers sometimes are taking a look at this podcast to see if they want to join this industry. And I think that this is a topic that, you know, is very timely. You know, it's definitely not a new topic, but I think it's new to some. And I think that that's why it's important to, you know, push this forward so that we can continue to ask questions to make our industry stronger. So that's my perspective, my take on it. I'm definitely not an expert. Here to learn. I'm here to learn every day. So I think learning more about DLP and NAA's leadership program will be great. So I look forward to gleaning some knowledge off of Stacy and Jason as well.
Awesome. Yeah, this is definitely a very important topic because, you know, we provide housing in our industry. And who lives in housing? Everybody. So we need to understand people and then be able to let's just get into it. Stacy, this program, it has a couple of different objectives, correct? So what does the program actually consist of?
Sure. So a little background. This is the second year of the program, as you mentioned. But it provides up to 15 members of diverse backgrounds an opportunity to develop as a leader in the rental housing industry. And those who participate are considered junior to mid-level employees, and they'll gain leadership experience through mentoring and training through this year-long program. But the program itself, it's 12 discussion sessions, which include mentor calls, book discussions, leadership guidance. We did a DISC, which we can talk about a little bit later, and how that can be used to help with our hiring process and getting to know our teams a little better. But it's been an incredible journey for me personally.
Amazing. It's truly very, very immersive, it sounds like, as well. I know that, you know, I think that that is, you know, one of the things that Jason can share too, is, I mean, there's an application and a selection process, you know, for this program, because we want to ensure that the time commitment that, you know, that people are setting forth, you know, for the mentor and the mentee and everyone involved, that they definitely understand it's reciprocal, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's something that should be pointed out as well. So these candidates were selected, which is, you know, which is fantastic, and across the country, which I think is even more impactful. So that, yeah, but definitely 12 sessions. You mentioned mentoring, you know, and the DISC profile, which we'll talk about a little bit too. We've talked about in previous hints from HR. But what else, Jason, from your perspective, do you feel that the program entails?
You know, the greatest thing that I liked about it is I felt like we were like a small committee of diverse leaders, and then we had the safe space. That I think that was the greatest thing, is you really don't have that in, you know, within your workplace. If you're lucky, you have a space where you can actually give your concerns, your thoughts, your ideas, and get like-minded representation, you know, out there saying, yeah, I experienced this too. Yeah, I see that too. You know, and how did you guys handle it? I think that was like the biggest benefit, you know, apart from learning about yourself, you know, like you said, from the DISC, learning about how your tendencies are, but just having that group of familiar faces just to share and an open space, a safe space is what I would say. I think that was the greatest benefit.
So I'm curious, you talked about those 12 different sessions. How many have you all actually participated in now? How far into the program are you? When did it start?
In February. I couldn't tell you how many we've done, but it's almost like every other Friday. And then we have mentor calls on top of that. And Jason, if you have the exact answer, you can jump in here.
I was guessing 10.
Okay.
We're going to need an accurate answer. We're going to check you guys. So
we got one Friday. I know we got one Friday.
Okay. Yeah, we have the mentor call Friday. Yes.
Is each session then, and Jason, is each session a different topic that you guys are working through? So yeah. I know one of them, I believe we mentioned, is mentoring. And maybe you can discuss a little bit on mentoring, what that means to you, what you've learned from that session, and how you could apply that to your management side.
Yeah, I think that's actually aside from our sessions, the mentoring. So we're all assigned a mentor. They're predetermined. They pick them for us. They basically, you know, they ask us questions like what a person or what area of expertise would you like, you know, what are you doing? And they pair me up. Like, so mine is Angel Davila. I'll give him a shout out. He's awesome. But he's actually helped me just in my new position, because I just recently got in this position about 2 years ago. So he's helped me a lot, just kind of, you know, ironing out some stuff that I need to do. And then he's also helped me plan for my future. Like, you know, I'm talking about going to get a CPO instruction where I can go teach CPO classes, certified pool operator classes nationwide. And that's something that, you know, I never really thought about. And he's kind of helped me get going in that direction. So that's just an example personally. But basically, all of us are paired with mentors. And I think I cherish those calls, because we call and we get to talk to these guys and girls. And we, you know, just they've been where we've been. And so it's really nice to just have somebody to talk to that experiences what you experience on a daily basis. You know, what do you think, Stacey? What about your mentor?
But it's great to lean on her to have discussions about things that I've gone through on a daily basis, even prior to being in this industry. Just being able to have that touch point has been really impactful for me and in my career. So it will be a continued relationship from here on out.
So do y'all know how one can identify themselves as a mentor and get involved in that program? And if not, I advise you, if you're listening right now and you want to get involved in the DLP program, the mentorship program, reach out to your people at NAA and find out how you can get involved. And Nicole, do you know anything about this, getting involved with the mentorship at all?
So as far as the mentorship for DLP, I definitely think there's a selection process there as well. So we want to ensure that we are aligning the candidates with, to Jason's point, representation, you know, for the current class of, you know, 2021's DLP, right? So I think there definitely is a selection process there. But to your point, you know, similar to other mentoring programs NAA does, I'm participating in the 20s and their 20s mentoring. There's definitely a selection process. So you just contact NAA's liaisons, and then they would be able to put you in contact with the people to be considered. So of course, we want to make sure that representation is key, and that anyone that feels they have that in their heart and passionate about it should be considered too.
Excellent. Well, I want to touch base on something because you guys, Stacy or Jason, I'm not sure who mentioned the DISC, but I know this is something Nicole's very fond of as well. We've talked about it on previous episodes. We've actually had an episode completely dedicated, well, partially dedicated to personality assessment. And Nicole, why don't you touch base a little bit on the DISC and the importance of team building with this tool?
Sure, absolutely. So the DISC, if you're not familiar with it, we have talked about it on several other episodes, is it just kind of gauges people's natural tendencies with dominance, being influential. I'm spelling out DISC here. So the D, right, I, influential, S is steady, and your C is going to be someone who's more conscientious. And so it just talks through different levels and strengths, and there's just a myriad of opportunity and results that can come from that. But what it does is it shows you how you fit. And to Jason's point, he mentioned it was great to get to know who he was. Mm-hmm. And so you can't really, as a leader, see how you can build a team or what the contribution of that team member is going to be. You don't know what you bring to it. So I think the DISC is really valuable because it shows you, you know, how you want to be approached, how you want to be influenced, you know, how you want to work. You know, it talks through so many different variables. So the DISC program for, you know, for Stacy and for Jason, they learned kind of what they brought to the table. So as a leader, now you're building a team, then you're going to want to see, okay, now how do I incorporate that into conversations, into coaching opportunities, into just even getting things from point A to point B. So the DISC itself, you know, not that we're endorsing it, right? It's out there. It's not like I created it or have any, you know, sponsorship opportunities, but I think that it's something that's great for, again, representation. And we're talking about with this DLP program is trying to build leaders that are going to continue with the DE and I, you know, kind of focus, right? So you want to see what all candidates bring to the proverbial table. So I think DISC kind of gives you just a light into that.
And just to piggyback off that, Nicole, you know, you could think of diversity as that as well, because we're all individuals. So, yeah. I was a high C. But, you know, like I think Stacy, if I remember, I think you were in the high or I.
And an S,
I.
Yeah.
I would tell you she's an I. Yeah, she's an I.
The cool thing, like Nicole, like you were saying, Nicole, the cool thing is to learn that, you know, I can go to my staff and say, okay, they're a high I, so I probably should come at them like this instead of, you know, mm-hmm. a detailed email that I would like, you know, and it helps mm-hmm. you see that diversity. And it was pretty cool to learn that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So this is clearly, you know, a program that's building leadership, right? You know, learning how to deal with the surrounding elements of the world that we live in and what role that we play in it and how to make it better. I want to kind of just touch base, because this is Hints from HR, a little bit on hiring process now. Now, how could we use this program, this education, these leadership abilities and traits that we're not that we're learning, but we're building upon as building blocks.
I think we're learning. I think lots of us are learning, and that's okay to say that. I think
yeah,
we're learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do we use that in hiring, and what maybe this perspective helps out with?
We need to have different people to kind of relate to the different people actually with the property. But wording can also trigger, like on job descriptions, certain types of people that you're looking for. So it may cater to a certain gender or certain demographics. So we need to be mindful of even the listings that we put out there when we're trying to, you know, seek out our top talent. And Jason, he can piggyback here because he has a great story. I don't know if he wants to share it with the recent hire that he had and how being part of this program has kind of promoted him to take a different look. So Jason, if you don't mind.
Yeah, especially. Yeah, I was excited because we just hired our first female maintenance lead. And so you know, in the past, you know, that unconscious bias, you know, that we all have, you know, when we think of maintenance, we kind of have a picture in our head that just pops in there. And, you know, one of my big things, you know, was like, man, is she going to be able to lift these water heaters? You know, but then I'm like, well, no, get that out of your head. I mean, it doesn't matter. We'll figure it out, you know. But she checked all the boxes. You know, it's not like I just went intentionally and just, oh, I want a female. It's just, she checked all the boxes. She applied. And I said, I'm going to intentionally give her a shot. And so that's what we did. And I think this program really opened my eyes. And, you know, talking about the diversity and equality, you know, when I first started this program, I kind of had it backwards. I thought equality was what our goal was. I thought, hey, everybody's equal. We're just going to give everybody opportunity. The best one wins. But after taking this program, understand, like Stacy was saying, that we got to be intentional. We got to diversify our employees and our staff and all that, and intentionally make these hires so that we can bring diversity to us. And then we can focus on equality and giving everybody opportunity to move up, you know?
So what do you think having a diverse team would bring to, you know, the table in your programs? And maybe Stacy, you start, Jason, and then Nicole, if you want to jump in right after that, let's make this a roundtable discussion.
Yeah, I would say different perspectives. It's being educated on the differences. And also, you know, if you have a predominant group of people from a certain culture, it might be in good taste to hire somebody who can really understand that as well. But it's just all about learning and understanding and educating ourselves on the different people out there and, you know, really being open-minded to hire others. I've seen offices that all look the exact same, in which how can you, again, relate to the people that work there, the other people that work there, to your residents. So that's kind of my take on it.
Jason, anything to add to that?
No, I totally agree. I mean, the only thing I could add is maybe, you know, as we grow in this industry, it's nice to get more diversity and representation. And I think that helps motivate, you know, minorities or other cultures that are maybe at the leasing stage right now. But if they see me and Stacy and others like us, that they're like, oh, I can get there. And you know, and we, I feel like I'm obligated to help pull them, you know, and that's one of the things that after this program, I am going to be a mentor because I want to start pulling some of these people that I see potential in, you know, not everybody, but the ones that have potential, I want to start pulling them up with us and helping them, you know, and that's what I think. Diverse, you know, like she said, I'm not good at going out and meeting people and stuff like that, but I can hire somebody that's good at that and diversify my team, you know.
Absolutely. Nicole, maybe if you want to jump in on this as well, but maybe add to how we can utilize DE&I with recruiting. I take the floor.
Yeah, no, I think intentionality is the focus. I think whenever, you know, you know, when I'm looking at companies, you know, similar to when we were talking about, you know, like culture, you need to identify your culture first, and then you need to tout it, live it, and put it out there for recruiting. Same thing with DE&I. You know, you need to identify your strategy as a company, whether you're an operator or a supplier, again, because you've got job seekers that are actively looking for your strategy and your stance on DE&I as well. And so I think as a company, you guys should be asking those questions if you're not already. But I would say start now. You don't have to, you know, even if you haven't even thought of DE&I and you're like even thinking, what do these letters stand for? Start now. You know, we're always learning. And I think that's sometimes the hiccup we get in our industry is we're like, oh, am I behind the eight ball? Do I have to throw up my hands? No, this is something you can start today. Because until you're more intentional about your recruiting practices to get a more diverse workforce into your company, then you can't kind of take that next step, like Jason said. And now it is equality for all. And if you are diverse, then you've really set yourself up for just, again, a truly efficient, engaged, and just a fantastic, you know, workforce. Mm-hmm. So I think as a company, identify first and then put it out on your website. You know, talk about that focus because people are looking. So similar to, again, like the conversations we've had before with culture, with your hiring practices, DE&I needs to be right there. And so I think in your recruiting practices, to Stacy's point, do you have unconscious bias in your job descriptions or your job postings, or even the questions that you ask whenever you are in an interview? Are they gender neutral, you know, to Jason's point, whenever he's hiring that female tech? One of the things that Jason mentioned when we were doing our pre-call was that, you know, he didn't just go out there and say, you know, I want a female tech because I'm being intentional. I got to diversify my workforce. No, it still had to be a female technician that was able to meet the job requirements. Again, we still have to be intentional. So I think that as an operator, again, or a supplier, or leaders in our industry, you know, don't overcorrect, you know, be intentional and ask those questions. So I think that would be kind of my perspective, you know, as far as the way to move forward, but start now. If you haven't, you know, if you haven't done anything about it, that's okay. Start now.
Excellent. Yeah. I think that it is the key to having a very well-rounded team as well that can speak to any person that can walk in once you diversify. And I'm glad you started mentioning, Nicole, the questions maybe the job seeker needs to ask to, you know, gauge an organization's DE&I, as well as, you know, what kind of questions or how do you promote it in an interview process? And should the job seeker, you know, be conscientious of this when they're going into the interview? What do they need to look for? I know you mentioned the website as well, but what else maybe are we missing? And Stacey, maybe you can take the lead on this, and Jason, a piggyback.
Here's a couple questions that, you know, I found that I think that are being used across the board. But these are ones that are for the job seeker that the operator would ask to kind of gauge your D&I. But basically, like, I wanted to provide some questions. I'm sorry, what is your approach? There we go. To understanding perspectives of colleagues or different backgrounds. Here's another one. Tell me about a time you had a direct report, feel a sense of inclusion or belonging on a daily basis. And finally, what steps will you take to eliminate bias from your hiring process? So those are just three examples that the operator would give the interviewee. But this can also be thrown back to the interviewer. So just like, how do you promote D&I within your organization? Something as simple as that and kind of open-ended can give you a lot of details on whether or not this is the company you want to work for and whether that's the culture you want to be involved with. That's just a few that I've found.
And clearly, if they have never even thought about it, the answer to the question is going to be totally different. Then, right. I mean, you'll be able to tell if it's a focus, right? Similar to any other question that you're asking a specific question. And so if they're unable to give you anything but, you know, kind of generic posturing, then you probably know your answer without even getting one.
Yeah.
Jason, sorry, I jumped in. Sorry. Do you want to ask something? Absolutely want to give you an opportunity.
No, I mean, that's Stacey hit it perfectly. I mean, you know, we're a growing company. We're a little smaller, but we're doing our capstone project, and I've been doing a lot of research, and I've been looking at companies like Kellogg and Tyson Chicken and all them. And they're actually using it as a selling point now to recruits, you know, and they, their websites, they have, you know, we have small committees for, you know, Hispanic, you know, culture committee, they have African-American committees, they have these little groups and the LBGQ community. I mean, they just have all this stuff, you know, for people that are job seekers. And to me, I was like, I'm doing my research. I'm like, yeah, that company's doing stuff. They're taking care of their employees. And I think that you can use it as a recruiting tool.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, absolutely you should. And I think that as, you know, as an operator though, you want to have credibility, right? So if you're not, if you really haven't explored it and you really can't speak on it, then you need to identify it first, right? I think that that's what I want to make sure everyone hears. I mean, NAA, by creating this program, they had to make sure that it was as fully formed as they could envision, you know, so there were think tanks and there were committees and there were things to make sure that we were just as efficient and create a program that was going to be a springboard for someone like Jason and someone like Stacey. So sometimes, you know, we kind of get ahead of ourselves, you know, and kind of want to get out there, but we haven't really done the intentional focus. And so make sure, you know, if I could just give some advice, make sure that you're doing that, right, before you're wanting to speak on it.
And since you just mentioned, you know, the NAA DOP class again, let's kind of jump into that in the last couple of minutes and maybe talk about if we didn't hit on any of the topics that you guys have touched base on. Is there anything you want to shed light on that maybe we're missing?
So obviously this year was a little different. It was all online, which in the past, the commitment is that you have to be in person. But obviously, like, if you have a special place in your heart for D&I and also growth in your own career development, please apply for it. We believe it might be open September, but again, we are not experts at this. So follow up on the NAA website or reach out to one of the folks there and they'll be able to help you out. But it's just, it's again, an incredible journey. And that's my plug for the DLP program.
Nice. Jason, what is your plug, man? And did we hit everything that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, the only other, you know, other thing was, if you guys describe the units, they did a really awesome article on Urban Alliance that they're trying to actually tutor, where they're actually bringing high school students in and actually mentoring them and doing internships and stuff. And they're doing it in, you know, diverse communities, which I think is great. And that's another intentional thing we can be doing as an industry. Just wanted to share that little tidbit. But yeah, as far as this program, I'll be straight honest. I did it, you know, for the leadership aspect of it. But when I got in there and we really hit the diversity and stuff like that, it really like opened my eyes. You know, like I said, I was thinking equality was the way to go. And this program just really kind of shed some light. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm doing stuff intentionally now that I wouldn't probably have done if I didn't take this class. So I really encourage, like Stacy said, if you're looking to grow, for meeting all these guys in our group, I mean, with Stacy, I mean, we're probably going to know each other for a long time because it's just getting to know each other so well, you know? So it's just one of those things that your network just grows tremendously.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to throw this out for you guys, but I'm sure if people reach out to you, you'll be more than willing to talk with them and maybe give them some guidance. So thank you guys for being on the program today. I truly appreciate it.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Stacy and Jason.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.